Hi guys, so welcome to another episode of Traders Risk Call. I'm Nicholas, and with us today is V, the CEO of Founder of Track Record. How are you, V?
Hi Nick, let's talk about markets.
Right, so with inflation, US CPI and producer prices coming in hot, do you think inflation will be transitory, and how will this affect asset prices?
Okay, so the first part of the question, is it transitory? I mean, I don't have enough information to decide yes or no. Of course, I used to, early stage of my career, always think that I can predict the outcomes based on what I believe, right? But this is heavy duty kind of measuring of prices and then looking at economic data and all, right? So the camps are split, right? Some professional forecasters think it's not transitory, but what matters is that the Fed believes it's transitory. They have a lot of research on their side, right? I think given the history of inflation, it's been a long while since we've had persistent inflation. I do believe that it is a function of two things which the Fed has pointed out. One is the base effects. Around this time last year, we had a massive collapse of prices because of global shutdown of economies across many major economies especially, right? So we have that base effect, and then the other one is the supply chains are not fully restored. We have a sudden burst of demand because of vaccination efforts in some places where which allows the economy to come back, a reopening up, right? So we have these two factors, and base effects will drop out soon in the months to come. And the Fed's view is that because once the economy starts to rebound, people get used to it, and supply chains will be restored, and then there's no bottlenecks, and then the prices will stabilize, right? So that, I believe, is my central view right now. And on how does it affect asset prices, I guess for bonds, it's weakness in the bonds, higher yields, right? As a steeper curve, steeper yield curve, as the market prepares for higher inflation prints. And of course, what you're seeing is that high growth stocks, they've been suffering because of this inflationary view. I think it's just a rotation from high growth tech stocks to value and cyclical stocks. Yeah, so that's what's happening right now. And I believe the rotation cannot continue forever. What we have seen is that the major tech stocks, the FANGs, they are doing quite well despite inflationary fears. Of course, it's come off, right? I think it's come off. And we have seen the Dow Jones and S&P doing quite well, NASDAQ lagging, but I think this is a rotational thing. So for now, my view is that inflation is transitory and the effects on asset prices will be also temporary.
Right, and I think you answered part of it, but how does tech stocks behave in a world of sustained above average inflation?
So first of all, we don't have an experience of sustained persistent above target inflation for many years now. What I've seen is that market tends to overshoot the reactions, and then we go back to normal once people get used to the status quo of slightly higher prices, right? So, because in times of high inflation, we didn't really have tech stock, and then since then, inflation has been trending down. But the historical theory is generally that businesses who do not have pricing power, they suffer, right? But tech stocks, each unit sales that they make, each incremental unit sales, it doesn't really affect their cost, right? So I don't think as a business model, the tech business model is going to suffer in an environment of inflation. But what we have is currently is that the environment of inflation fears makes people to believe that the Fed will have to hike sooner rather than later to have to start tapering. So that affects sentiment of asset pricing, right? But I think what Fed has been saying is that they're not going to react until it's really entrenched inflation, which they think will start to affect inflation in the sense that it will be persistently over 2%. In fact, last night, one of the Fed governors said that he's very comfortable with inflation above 2%, actual inflation outcomes above the target of 2% for 2 years. That is quite a long time, right? Quite a long time. They've been saying a considerable amount of time, but I think 2 years is a long time. If they are that comfortable, I don't think they're going to be preemptive if they are going to hike anytime soon. And all this tapering fears, I believe it's overblown. So I still believe in the tech model of business, tech business models. And I believe they still will outperform. One other thing that has been happening is grouped together with the tech sell-off is that there are many specs, you know, special purpose blank check companies, which have been set up to do buyouts of private companies, right, and accelerate the listing process. But this has been the rage all last year because money was so cheap, people were piling into anything with promise of returns. Since the launch of all these SPACs, what has happened is that the lockup periods are ending. So when the founders of the SPACs, they list the SPACs, they are granted certain amount of stocks which they cannot sell for a period of time, maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months. And all these are coming online, right? And sometimes, quite often, the amount of stocks held by these founders that they can start to sell is comparable with the float or even more than the float in the market, right? So you will see all this selling pressure coming online. I don't think that affects the real businesses, right? It only affects all the speculative. So what we have seen is all these meme stocks, all these speculative high growth stocks that the Robin Hood retail army enjoys trading. They are all suffering under this current environment of fear of inflation and fear of Fed tapering, because that takes away the leverage and takes away the free money, which allows them to speculate, right? So I believe that we do not have a parallel of knowing what exactly happens to tech stocks when inflation is persistently high, but it tends to affect asset markets. But those assets that do well are those that have pricing power. And I believe actually many of the tech business models do have that, right? So I think the part where all high growth tech stocks do well is going to diverge, right? Instead, there will be good tech stocks versus just very speculative tech stocks. Yeah.
Right. And what do you make of Elon Musk's trolling of the crypto space, and how does this affect your view on the crypto universe?
Okay, so first of all, we are very bullish cryptos, especially Bitcoin and Ethereum. Not because it's endorsed by Elon Musk, right? We were in the game before he's even talking about it. I have no clue what his motivations are. It seems a little bit irritating, right? It's as if he does not know that Bitcoin mining requires a lot of energy. I think anybody who's looked into cryptos in a serious way would have known that it's one of the concerns of many opponents of the Bitcoin as an asset class, right? So it's very weird that he's bought $1 billion of it for his company, and then he's starting to realize, oh, actually, this takes a lot of electricity to mine. Of course, there are many viewpoints on this. One of them is that he's managed to quantify how much energy goes into mining Bitcoin, but he's not yet compared it with the energy needs of other asset classes, right? But that's besides the point. What really surprises me is that someone as tech savvy as him, someone as visionary as him, seems to be surprised, and after $1 billion of purchase, he thinks, oh, you know, there's an energy concern here. It's just almost like the retail punter guy who doesn't do his homework, right? So I don't think he is that kind of silly, right? So probably could be he is just this is the precursor of him trying to promote other cryptocurrencies. He says he's not selling the Tesla, is not selling the cryptocurrencies, but they are looking to transact with it only after the energy problem is solved, energy consumption issue is solved. But they are looking into other cryptos, right, with less energy consumption needs. So he's been very vocal about Dogecoin, and that's because, I don't know, it's another one of his, he could be that he's found that the best way to fund all his visionary ideas is to just punt cryptos and then talk about it on his Twitter and then capitalize on it, right? So he could use his profits to pay for missions to Mars, right? So I wouldn't put it past him. He's just kind of like that, right? He's just doing whatever it takes to fulfill his vision of interplanetary travel for the human race, right? So for the big picture, probably makes sense. He's got a lot of power on his Twitter account. I don't think it affects the longer term thesis that we have of cryptocurrencies being an asset class, Bitcoin being a new form of gold, a digital gold to hedge against inflation. Don't need to argue about intrinsic value. All we need to know is it has finite supply. So that alone in this environment of inflation and unlimited money printing is enough to drive the prices higher.
Right. That's all for today's episode. Thanks for the points.
Okay. Thank you, Nick. Thanks very much. As always, stay true to the process, and eventually we'll all be profitable. All right. Take care.